Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Philip Newbury here, and welcome to another Ask the Expert. And joining me in the studio this morning, we have Elaine Von Cannon. And Elaine is Associate Broker, ARB, SRES, Notary, Residential and Commercial Property Manager, member of the National Association of Residential Property Managers. And you're going to find Elaine at 4071 Ironbound Road, and to contact her, 229-9595. And also in the studio, we have Kevin Onizuk, Branch Manager with JG Wentworth. And you'll find Kevin at 113 Bullifonts Boulevard in Suite C, Williamsburg. And here's a number that you will be able to contact Kevin, 757-645-8996. And also in the studio, we have Mr. Rudy Johnson. And welcome to you all. And without more ado, let's get this show on the road, shall we? And Elaine and Kevin, what are we talking about today?
Philip, I had a question from a new seller last week. It is the first time he has sold a home. He wanted to know about how the price is determined for a home, and he was confused about appraisal part of the sale. So I asked my dear friend of mine and Kevin's, an appraiser, Mr. Rudy Johnson, to come in and talk to us today about appraisals.
Well, this should be proved to be very informative. Hello, Rudy.
Hi.
And let me welcome you to Ask the Expert. Rudy, could you tell our listeners, audience, a little bit about yourself?
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm. Fortunate enough to be a dairy farmer's son.
Uh-huh.
And was fortunate enough later to get a job working for James City County as the county assessor. And then the city of Williamsburg as the assessor for Williamsburg and finance director. And in between, working for myself, and then the assessor for York County, and then the assessor for the city of Hampton. See, I couldn't keep
a
job anywhere.
Moved around all
over the peninsula.
Well, wonderful, and welcome to be, and we welcome you here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kevin, do you order an appraisal? If so, how is this done, and who gets to do the appraisal?
Hey, good morning, Philip.
Good morning,
That's a
Kevin.
Great question, and things are different than they used to be. So nowadays is very different than when I started in this business several years ago. When Mr. Rudy started in this business, I was not even remotely close to even being born, I am sure. He is an absolute expert in the field as an assessor and an appraiser, and has probably forgotten more than most anybody else in the real estate world will ever know. So back several years ago, the way it would work would be I would have a mortgage customer doing a purchase or refinance. We need to order an appraisal. We pick our favorite local appraiser. Rudy was our go-to guy. Because we knew he did a great job, he was fair, honest, and accurate, and came up with a good appraised value, and we would send him the order. He would go do the appraisal and send it to us. That was before the whole real estate meltdown, the mortgage meltdown, and before the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau was created, which is the federal entity now that is supposed to ensure that, you know, folks are being treated fairly. It's a new bureaucracy created by the federal government. I won't get into my feelings on the CFPB right now, but we will keep this to the appraisal process. As part of all of this, we now have appraiser independence rules, which mean that really the long and short of it is we can't pick the appraisers anymore.
I see.
They have to be chosen at random from a list. It can be a list of approved appraisers.
Right.
You know, so you can have a list of, you know, 5 or 10 that are approved and picked from that list in a random order. Most companies now, most mortgage companies, are using what they call appraisal management companies. Mm-hmm. So in all of this regulation, it created a middleman, an appraisal management company, where we place the order with the appraisal management company. They assign it to a local appraiser on their roster at random who completes the appraisal, sends it back to them, and then they get paid. They then disperse money to the appraiser. The unfortunate part is it's kind of made the process more expensive for the home buyer and less money for the actual appraiser because that middleman is making a ton of money.
I see, yeah.
So, and all they're doing is placing the order, sending it to an appraiser, and then sending it back to us.
Yeah.
So it's kind of made it more difficult to get things done economically and affordably. And it's, I think, going to impact folks going in to become appraisers. And I'll let Rudy maybe talk a little bit more about that. So the long and the short is nowadays we get an application when an appraisal is needed, where they go out and value a home. We send an order to an appraisal management company who assigns it out to a local appraiser of their choice.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kevin. Elaine, what is your part in the appraisal process with buyers and sellers?
What I do is I have to explain to my sellers how we have no control over the appraisal. And I have to explain to my sellers when the appraiser comes out to leave. Do not be there. Do not aggravate the appraiser. Do not ask him a bunch of questions because, number one, he's not working for you.
Right.
Number one, he's working for the lender.
Yeah.
And so, which isn't even working for the buyer, per se, is he's working for the lender.
The lender, yeah.
So, I tell my sellers, leave, be quiet, and if you don't like the appraisal, we'll talk about this later. And Rudy, I got some questions for Rudy about
this.
Yeah,
we do.
But anyway, the buyers, I tell them that their lender will order the appraisal, and that and they say, well, my friend Ted, he's an appraiser. Well, that's nice. Ted's not doing the appraisal unless he's on the rotation list of the lender.
You've got to have the approved
appraiser.
Yeah.
Now, I have had Rudy in the past go do an appraisal for me when I have a seller who did not agree with what my comparative market analysis was. And I'll ask Rudy, one of them was my husband, and I have Rudy go do the appraisal so he can see that I haven't lost my mind and I really do know what I'm talking about the value of the home.
Right.
So, and people sometimes do call, you know, Rudy over the years has gotten many calls from people who wanted him to come out and appraise their houses before they put it on the market. Because they might not want to put it on the market, or they might can't wait to rush in and get it on the market, you know? It goes either way. So
yeah.
I have very little to do with the appraisal process.
Right.
I really do. And I'm sort of glad.
Well, everyone to their own. Rudy,
yes.
Could you tell us how the steps that you do when making an appraisal?
Surely. First thing is to learn the attributes of the property that you're appraising. You need to look at it and know what it is you're appraising and get all of the attributes concerning that property. Then you must know what situation that house is sitting in. What's its neighborhood like? Is it similar to the other houses in the neighborhood, or is it very different from the other houses in the neighborhood?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a house that people who are buying houses want? Does it have the attributes that purchasers want, or does it not? And the longer you appraise property, the more you look at the neighborhood that it's in and not just at the house itself.
If you're appraising
a house, comment is limited strictly to residential appraising.
Now, Rudy, when you go out there, suppose this house it's out in the middle of nowhere, like where I sell sometimes, out in the river country. We're way out there. And Rudy's been out there?
Boonies.
Yes, a lot of times. And so to get the comparative comps on the MLS for you would be hard. So you went to the courthouse, right, because you can't – as the crow flies, how many miles do you have leeway on for residential property, whether it be in a subdivision or rural, how much can you sort of be out there?
Well, in generally residential properties, the appraisal management companies want you to stay within 1 mile of the property you're appraising.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go out into the areas that you're talking about, Elaine, there isn't a sale within 1 mile.
Or 10.
There may not even be a sale within 10 miles. So you go as far as you have to, yeah, finding the properties that are most similar to the subject and as close as possible to the subject. You cannot create a market. You simply follow the market.
I see.
Where it is, there must the appraiser go.
And you go to the courthouse?
Yes. You go to the courthouse, look up information, go to MLS,
mm-hmm,
talk to agents, talk to sellers, talk to buyers, listen to people who buy and sell.
Yeah.
Now, Rudy, this is Kevin. I will often have folks that I will talk to and say, sure, I bought my house last year for $200,000, but, you know, I've painted, I cut the grass, you know.
That's so great. I'm glad you did that.
Right. You know, I dusted behind the sofa.
All right.
So it should be worth $150,000. I'm sorry, I said 200. So it should be worth $250,000. Now, obviously, those things aren't going to significantly impact the value. What things are the most impactful? So let's say, you know, what things, if someone wants to increase the value of the home, are there certain renovations that are more valuable than others? You know, is it based on square footage, number of rooms, you know, how modern your sink is? Do you have granite versus Formica countertops? Like, what are some of the most important things that help value?
Well, as you mentioned, the size of a house and whether it has 10 rooms or 6 rooms, whether it has 2 bedrooms or 4 bedrooms, whether it's got a bath and a half or 3.5 baths, whether it has central heat, central air conditioning, whether it has the modern features that people want when they buy a house. But one of the things that gives the appraisers a difficult time, as Kevin was talking, they will do normal maintenance of a house, which simply maintains its value. It doesn't increase its value.
No.
It simply maintains what you've already got.
Mm.
But then there are times that people will want to make their house more modern so it will sell more quickly and for more money.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend entirely too much money doing it.
And then they want
to have that money back in a resale.
Yeah.
And the market doesn't support that additional cost. As an example, a person would remodel the kitchen and the bathrooms, and it wouldn't be difficult to spend $40,000 to $50,000 doing it. And if the house is worth $200,000 before they start, they say it's got to be worth at least $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily.
No.
It's seldom that you can spend that kind of money in modernization and then sell the property for that much more money. That's one of the difficulties the appraisers deal with, because people want their money back. Same thing with a lot of different features of a house. Landscaping, you know, adding a $25,000 pier if you're on the water. Piers add value, but do you need a $25,000 pier? Does the market accept the cost of the $25,000? Almost anything that you do with a house will maintain value or add value. The only question is how much? And how do you know how much? You simply look at other sales of properties that have that feature and houses that do not have those features and see what the difference is.
Now,
make
Rudy,
adjustments for the difference.
I've had sellers say, well, should I leave this a garage or should I make it into a third bedroom or a fourth bedroom? Or would it be more value leaving it as a garage? I usually opt saying, if it was personally me, I'd leave it as a garage. But what, as an appraiser, what would you give more value for with a garage, converting it to another bedroom or leaving it as a garage?
Generally, living area has a greater value than unfinished area, like an unfinished interior of a garage. Mm-hmm. But that isn't necessarily true either. Mm-hmm. It's what the buyers want.
Of course.
If I spend $30,000 making my garage into a living area, and the buyers who buy it take that out and convert it back into a garage, I've just wasted $30,000.
Yeah.
And they're the type of things that, my opinion, is that people who want to sell their house should talk to Elaine. Talk to the people who are dealing in the market every day. They know the things that people will buy and won't buy. What will they pay for? What will they not pay for? And that's the appraiser's job to figure out those things.
Yeah.
Sounds like really the big answer, as in many of our radio shows, is it depends.
That is the answer, really.
It's pretty, you would think it's pretty straightforward. Adding size and square footage is going to add value. And it probably is. If you add a bedroom, if you add a bathroom, that's very likely going to add value. But to what point? Because at some point, you may be overbuilt for the neighborhood.
Yep.
If the highest price point in the whole neighborhood is $200,000, and you put $100,000 in on top of your $200,000 house, your neighborhood may not support a resale at $300,000. So even if you do make it bigger, better, absolutely the most awesome house in the neighborhood, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to sell it for that. So a lot of times you just have to do things that are right for your family. This is what I want for my home. But know that you're not always going to get dollar for dollar in improvements that you make. But, do it because it's what you want. It's the house you want to live in. And if you're looking to sell, get with Elaine. She is the expert on marketing and listing, and she can tell you you need to fix this, this, and this at a minimum to get the maximum benefit. And you can reach Elaine on her cell phone at 757-288-4685.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Elaine Von Cannon. She is associate broker, ARB, SRES, notary, residential and commercial property manager, member of the National Association of Residential Property Managers, with Coldwell Banker Traditions of Williamsburg. And as you just heard, you can contact her and reach her at 757-288-4685. That is a direct number. That will get her. And also we're talking with Kevin D. Onizuk, branch manager with J.G. Wentworth Home Lending Incorporated at 113 Bulafonts Boulevard, Suite C in Williamsburg. It's just off of Moortown Road, if you weren't sure. And you can contact Kevin at 757-645-8996. Kevin, what do you do if buyers do not agree with the appraisal? Who pays for the appraisal when this is paid?
That's a great question, Philip. And that is something that buyers often question because we ask them to pay for the appraisal up front in the application process. So we take a mortgage application, send out application disclosures with estimates of closing costs, monthly payments, interest rate, annual percentage rate, and basically anything anyone has ever questioned in the mortgage process or filed a lawsuit about has created a federal disclosure. So I sent out a package this morning that had 52 individual disclosures to a home buyer. That's not 52 pages, that's 52 disclosures, many of them multiple pages. Once those are completed and the buyer acknowledges that they understand our initial estimates and what's going to happen in the mortgage process, at that point, then we can ask them to pay for the appraisal. They pay for it up front because it is a fairly large expense. It's really the only out-of-pocket expense that's associated with the mortgage itself. And we ask for it up front specifically because of your question. So let's say someone is buying a house for $200,000. When we order an appraisal, somebody mentioned earlier the appraisal is for the lender. That is absolutely true. It is not for the buyer. It's not for the seller. It's for us to make a lending decision. And the appraiser goes out, and really the main two things that we're looking for is, number one, condition. Mm-hmm. Is the property in acceptable minimum condition? You know, we're not going to say, is the carpet need to be replaced in 4 years? You know, could the walls be painted a different color? We just want to know it's in decent living condition. Now, the appraiser does not go through the detail that a home inspector would. The appraiser's generally more going to note things that they see on a visual inspection. So if you're in the kitchen and you're standing and looking up and you see sunlight and there's not a skylight there, you know, they're going to note that. You know, so
you were thinking about putting one there.
Well, yeah, maybe that's a good solution. So they're just basically doing a visual inspection. We want to know if it meets minimum standards. And if not, the appraiser will note that as a repair that needs to be done. Your home inspector is going to go through in a lot more detail. I always tell my customers, I don't want to be involved in that. I don't want to see your home inspection. We just do the appraisal. Mm-hmm. The second thing the appraiser does is valuation. So if you're buying the house for $200,000, they come up with their estimated market value. As a lender, I want to see that that market value is at least what you're paying for the home. So I want to see that it's $200,000 or higher. So let's say an appraiser goes out and says, hey, this house is only worth $190,000. It's not worth $200,000. Now, I think Elaine's going to talk a little bit about what happens in those instances, but let's say there cannot be an agreement between the buyer and the seller on valuation, or maybe a condition issue the seller's not willing to fix, and the deal is terminated. Well, guess what? That buyer paid for that appraisal up front. It averages about $500. Mm-hmm. So then the buyer's like, hey, I spent $500 and, you know, I'm not getting this mortgage. I want my money back. Well, we collect the money up front because the appraiser wants to be paid up front. So the appraiser, when they go out, they're getting paid to do the job and deliver the report. Mm-hmm. That report is saving that buyer from making a mistake, you know, whether it's value, whether it's condition, etc. So if that appraiser goes out and supports the value and condition and everything is perfect, great, the transaction proceeds. If the appraiser raises a red flag on value or condition or something, then and the transaction doesn't consummate, guess what? That appraiser still did his or her job. They still went out and worked on your behalf, gave you an honest report. They still expect to be paid. And if that was not the case, then appraisers, certainly not our present company, but some other appraisers may be less likely to be honest on appraisal reports. Mm-hmm. They may just, you know, pass it just so they get paid. And that's not what we want. Yeah. That's what got us into the mess, you know, 10, 15 years ago just everybody rubber stamping everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it creates honest appraisal reporting, and honestly, it can help a buyer by preventing them from making a mistake, just like many other steps in the process, like your home inspection, your termite mm-hmm. inspection, etc. Mm-hmm. If you have a home inspection done and there's an issue, guess what? You know, you still pay the home inspector. They still did their work.
Right.
So, yes, even if it doesn't go to completion, you still pay that professional for their professional work.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Elaine, suppose the appraisal comes in lower than the contract price. What do you do?
What do I do is I'll call the appraiser, and I'll ask him, I'll say, when I did my comparative market analysis, I came up with this value, and I'll tell him. I said, now, we're about $10,000, $15,000 apart. And he'll say, well, can you provide me comps that will support that price? And Rudy and I have done this before. And I'll say, well, yes, because I happen to belong to, it was at the time we had four MLSs, now we have three. I said, I go to all four to get my comps. So I will pull comps and send it to the appraiser. He will look at them.
What's a comp, Elaine?
A comp is a property that is near or like as you can get to the subject property that's being appraised or the buyer wants to buy and my seller wants to sell. So I'll pull up homes that will that I use for my market analysis, I send them to the appraiser. Well, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it still won't come up, and we'll have to go to the table, and the sellers will have to agree mm-hmm. to lower the price so the buyers can buy, or everybody agrees to shake hands and walk away.
Well, that's what you can do, I suppose.
it's pretty cut and dry.
It is, yeah. Rudy, do you have any questions that need to be answered?
I was just thinking while Aileen was talking about the appraisal being less than the contract price. Mm-hmm. Well, she mentioned $10,000 to $15,000. That's an enormous difference mm-hmm. between a market analysis made by a salesperson and an appraisal. Both are supposed to be professional and know what they're doing. If it's a $300,000 house and then my appraisal is $1,000 less than the contract, that does not give me any heartburn at all. Appraiser doesn't determine the value. He simply mm-hmm. estimates the value. Buyers and sellers in the market determine the value, and courts determine value. But when the price, I always think like this. Listen to the people who have seen that house and lived in it and who have marketed it. They know.
Well, I know. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to cut you off now because we're almost out of time. This has been a production for WMBG. And keep your radio tuned to FM 93.5 The Berg and WMBG's AM 740. Thanks to Elaine, Kevin and Rudy for a terrific program. And now it's back to regular programming.